This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 and it's time to pop at Parliament. Tasha is here with the updates. We hear Prime Minister Tun Mahathir was in Dewan Rakyat this morning. What was he there to address?
So Tun was there to answer the first question of the day, which came from Kuala Krau MP Datuk Sri Ismail Mohamed Said. And it's a question that's been asked over and over again, which was, what is the latest update of the ECRL project and will the government continue with the project for the sake of the development and economic growth of the East Coast? Tun responded with a few things, among them that he recognises the value that the ECRL can bring to the East Coast. But as he said in the past, the negotiations are still underway and they are going to take, and it's going to take time because there's just, you know, so much to consider. He also mentioned that he put Tun Daim in charge of those negotiations, which prompted the Kuala Krau MP to ask a follow-up question, but not before he sort of like took Tun on this throwback to like a comment that he made before he got re-elected.
Saya sering kali melihat video clip yang amat berhormat Perdana Menteri ketika itu sebagai pengerusi bersatu, tidak dalam kerajaan, di hadapan tapak pembinaan tersebut di Kuantan Industrial Park MCKIP, mengatakan bahawa projek ini adalah projek yang merugikan negara. Dan yang keduanya, menjejaskan pegangan tanah rakyat Malaysia dan kita lepaskan kepada negara China. Dan ada tomahan juga yang mengatakan Yang Mohamad Pekan telah menjual kedaulatan negara ketika itu. Tapi alhamdulillah, nampaknya apabila diteliti semula, dinilai semula dan akan dibuat rundingan semula dan diketuai oleh Yang Amat Berbahagia Tun Daim. Dan saya bimbang, risau kenapa tak diketuai oleh Yang Mohamad Menteri Kewangan untuk menguruskan perbincangan ini.
So Tun, you know, was quite quick with his comebacks.
As always.
As he usually is. I think the Kuala Krau MP thought that he had, you know, he had sort of given him a zinger there.
Well, I mean, it has the... You can tell in his tone of voice, right?
He sounded like, very impressed with himself.
Yes, a little bit.
So here is Tun just sort of handing it back to the MP.
Memang pun kalau Pakatan Harapan tak menang, maka negara kita ini akan dijual kepada orang lain dengan harga tertentu. Sebabnya, Tuan Yang Dipertua, ialah apabila kita hutang dan kita tak dapat bayar, kita akan dikenakan tindakan bankrupt. Seperti negara Greece bankrupt dahulu. Mujurlah rakyat di Malaysia ini sedar dan mereka memberi kemenangan kepada Pakatan Harapan untuk mengelak daripada negara dijual kepada orang lain. Tuan Yang Dipertua, kenapa dihantar, bukan kita hantar Menteri Kewangan, tetapi orang lain, orang asing, orang yang tidak ada dalam kerajaan? Kita pilih berasas kepada kebolehan tertentu. Kadang-kadang apabila kita runding, kita perlu ada orang yang boleh diterima oleh pihak yang lain. Sebab itu kita telah pilih satu orang lain yang kita membuat penilaian sebagai berkelayakan dan berkebolehan untuk berunding dengan pihak negara China. Inilah sebabnya yang kita pilih Tun Daim.
Tun also spoke to journalists in the lobby after he left the chambers. He elaborated a little bit more on the amount of debt that the country would be in if they were to proceed with the ECRL deal in its current status.
Well, if we continue, we will be borrowing as much as 60 billion ringgit. To pay back, we have to pay with interest. And that will take us about 30 years. And in 30 years' time, the amount added to the interest will reach about 100 over, and some estimate is about 130 billion. That is why we cannot afford this project.
Right, so this is of course a long-running story, and part of the whole idea of the renegotiation surrounding the ECRL is to see which parts of the project can be scaled back. Did Tun share any details on that?
He was reluctant to share specific details because of its quote-unquote sensitive nature, but he did briefly give an example of one of the things that he said might not be necessary or could afford to be postponed.
We may not have to do double tracking, for example, because initially the projection for carriage of cargo and passengers is rather small. We can postpone parts of the construction or plan until later when it is required.
Did he comment on anything else?
He spoke about masks. According to Tun, there are parties that are interested to buy over the airline, and the offers are coming both from local and international folks. And Tun seems pretty open to the idea. He's considering whether a change of management would be the way to go, even though he did sort of like cheekily point out, you know, even though we got two foreign people to come over to have a look and try and fix things, that didn't really work out. So he says, you know, he hurts Malaysia Airlines, but that it seemed that all the attempts that they've tried so far to save the airlines have been quite futile.
Saya sayang mas. Saya nak mas ini dijadikan satu airline nasional. Tetapi ternampak seolah-olah kita tak mampu. Umpamanya, kerajaan memberi 6 bilion ringgit kepada mas untuk menolong mas. Dengan itu pula, pihak MAS telah menghentikan kerja seramai 6,000 orang. Tapi setelah menghentikan 6,000 orang, MAS tidak terbang seperti dahulu. Sudah hapuskan banyak penerbangan. Bermakna daripada segi pengurangan kaki tangan dan pengurangan kerja, tak ada bezalah. Kalau kita kurang pekerja, tetapi kita maintain status yang lama, barulah ada saving. Kalau korang pekerja, korang kerja, tak ada kelebihan. Kalau kita ada duit banyak, kita boleh bagi full meal kepada semua orang. Tetapi duit kita telah dicuri. Dan orang yang curi itu sekarang ni jadi bos mereka. Bos orang tertentu. Jadi payahlah kita nak urus. Mungkin duit dia curi itu ada di mana, saya tak tahu. Bawalah balik, bagi kepada penuntut-penuntut ni.
That was Tun Mahathir commenting on Malaysia Airlines, really, the situation it's in, as well as whether or not foreign, you know, kind of selling it off to an international firm would do anything. And the last time we spoke about it on the show, the reaction from listeners was very mixed, but there did seem to be a strong sort of sentimental pull, you know, that we heard Tun M say, you know, that he sayangs mas, and that seems to be something that was coming through as well. Let us know, do you feel that love for mas, and how would you feel about a foreign company taking over and trying to kind of help it out, really? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
So another thing that Tun talked about was, or rather he was asked about, was why in the light of Christchurch have there been extra police assigned to guard temples and churches, but not the mosques here? And he says that, you know, there are a lot of mosques and temples out there, so he's relying on the common sense of Malaysian citizens to behave, you know, with common sense and logic.
Kita selalu mengawasi masjid-masjid, tetapi kita tahu jumlah masjid banyak. Kita juga tahu jumlah kuil pun banyak. Jadi kita bergantung kepada akal fikiran penduduk negara kita ini. Jangan ambil tindak balas. Kerana kalau kita ambil tindak balas, orang lain akan ambil tindak balas di lain tempat pula. Jadi kita akan hadapi masalah berpanjangan. Sebab itu, daripada segi common sense, jangan kita cuba balas dendam. Balas dendam akan mengundangkan balas dendam lain kali.
So it sounds like he just had a lot of things to say about a lot of things today.
Yeah, there were quite a few topics to talk about. He even briefly and very casually said this, what sounded pretty major, that if the EU continued to discriminate against palm oil products, then the one thing that Malaysia could do would be to stop buying European products, essentially to boycott Europe.
Oh, speaking of balas dendam, let us know what you think. Because that's, like you said, Tasha, that's kind of a big statement to make. But it's not the first time, I think, that it's been mentioned before that, look, if you're going to treat our products this way, then that might be something that would happen. You can let us know as well. Would you boycott European products if this issue of palm oil keeps getting dragged through the mud over in the EU? Again, those numbers, 7733 2900, to call us and chat. To WhatsApp, it's 018-789-8899. And you can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
And moving on, what else was going on in Parliament today?
So one of the questions on the order paper today was to the Minister of Education. The Sungai Besar MP wanted Mazli Malik to state the ministry's plans to ensure that the environment for teachers in school is conducive and therapeutic. But the question time was cut right before this particular one was read out. So YB Mazli, like, bless his heart, he held a quick PC in the Parliament lobby so that he could share his answers. This was his suggestion for a conducive and therapeutic condition for teachers based on the visits that he has made to various schools.
Saya dapati bahawa perlunya bilik guru yang kondusif. Bukan bilik guru, kawasan rehat guru yang kondusif selain daripada bilik guru. Kerana selalunya bilik guru merupakan ruang kerja ataupun workstation. Jadi guru-guru perlu mempunyai satu ruang untuk mereka berehat. Dan saya merasakan ini satu keperluan bagi para guru. Selepas mereka penat mengajar, perlu ada ruang untuk mereka relax, mengambil nafas dan juga mungkin menikmati juadah. Ada sekolah yang telah menyediakan, tetapi banyak juga sekolah yang belum ada lagi. KPM telah meminta supaya sekolah-sekolah di seluruh Malaysia menyediakan kawasan rehat guru. Dan ini penting kerana psychologically ataupun psikologinya, guru juga adalah manusia biasa yang perlu ruang untuk mereka boleh berehat ketika selepas mengajar ataupun di waktu rehat itu. Dan kawasan rehat guru ataupun KRG ini merupakan sebahagian daripada aspirasi Kementerian Pendidikan, iaitu untuk mewujudkan suasana kasih sayang, kegembiraan dan juga saling menghormati.
Wow. Well, he sounds very, very keen on the idea of having a bilik rehat for teachers. Did he also mention how the government does plan on helping schools create or build the sanctuary for teachers?
Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the ministry plans on allocating any funds for this. Instead, they're encouraging other people to chip in.
KPM menggalakkan pihak-pihak luar seperti pihak swasta, seperti PIBG, NGO dan juga alumni untuk turut menyumbang ke sekolah, membantu membangunkan dan juga menyediakan ruang rehat untuk guru ataupun dipanggil sebagai kawasan rehat guru ini. Dan sumbangan mereka amat bermakna demi membantu kita memberikan kegembiraan kepada para guru dan juga secara tidak langsung akan membawa kepada usaha peningkatan kualiti pengajaran pihak guru itu sendiri.
Tash, did Mazli Malik say anything else?
He commented on the recent reports that some university students in UM are surviving on just one meal a day.
Yeah, saya tidak menafikan ada pelajar yang memang menghadapi kesukaran itu, terutamanya mereka yang datang daripada keluarga kurang berkemampuan. Di sini kita menggalakkan dan kita mengucapkan terima kasih kepada semua pihak yang terlibat untuk membantu. Dan kita dapati bahawa apa yang dilakukan oleh pihak universiti sendiri pun, UM, perlu diberikan perhatian kerana mereka pun telah melakukan banyak perkara, antaranya ialah memberikan makanan percuma. Apa yang dilakukan oleh kakitangan akademik, mereka juga turut menyumbang. Dan juga terdapat NGO yang juga turut memberikan dokongan dan juga sumbangan. Jadi pada cadangan saya, pihak media cuba untuk melihat kumpulan-kumpulan yang melakukan sumbangan-sumbangan seperti itu. Cuma saya ingin merayulah supaya bila sebut tentang kemiskinan, dia lebih dekat dengan zakat dan lebih dekat dengan Baitul Mal. Mungkin kita boleh memanggil Baitul Mal untuk memainkan peranan yang lebih aktif di universiti-universiti awam. Kerana kalau sebut miskin kan, sinonimnya ialah zakat. Jadi kita menyerulah supaya pusat zakat wilayah juga turut memainkan peranan, kerana saya yakin bahawa zakat merupakan antara solusi untuk membantu dan juga membasmi kemiskinan.
Okay, so that was Education Minister Mazli Malik commenting on just a couple of things in Parliament today.
Well, the next thing I want to ask about is the drama that happened yesterday. Were there any spillovers in today's proceedings?
There weren't. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But things were much calmer today. Although we did manage to corner Ngah Kor Ming, the deputy speaker who kicked Noh Ommai out yesterday. He was still kind of miffed by Noh's absence in Parliament, which was really what, you know, fair enough. It's what caused the entire thing to drag out in the way that it did.
He should explain to the people, all members of parliament are actually paid allowance to attend the meeting. He should explain to the people why he was absent during the meeting. It is not the speaker's obligation to ensure his attendance. I am not the school's headmaster to ensure my students are present at parliament. as a member of parliament, especially he claimed himself as a senior member of parliament, which already been a sixth term, he should know the rules and he should be punctual. Okay, he knows that sixth term means that you have more than 25 years of experience. Don't tell me that he doesn't know. Parliament start at 10 p.m. I was waiting for him. Why he was absent? He should explain to the public, not actually point fingers to the speaker.
You know, that's really continuing his tone from yesterday, which was sort of disappointed dad. You know, it's kind of like, it's not my business if you're late. You should know better. I'm really appreciating the sternness.
Yeah, I mean, I know he says that he's not a headmaster, but that's all I saw and could hear as he was speaking. He also had some more stern words for anyone who tries in the future to deliberately cause chaos in Parliament.
It is the Speaker's prerogative and also the duty always to defend and to safeguard the sanctity of the House. From yesterday's chaotic incident, from now on, we will impose strict rules pursuant to the power given by standing orders. Any member of parliament who deliberately create chaos in the House, we will regard it as a contempt to the House, and stern action will be taken to maintain law and order in the August House.
That was Deputy Speaker Nga Kor Ming. Anything else before we wrap up today's update?
Yeah, I did want to add that today was the first time that Ramli Mohammed Noor, the freshly elected MP for Cameron Highlands, made his appearance in Parliament. And usually it takes a minute to recognise MPs, you know, because there's just so many of them. But you could spot Ramli from a mile away today because he was proudly wearing this traditional headpiece to signify him being the first Orang Asli to sit in Dewan Rakyat. This was what he said when we asked how he felt to be there.
Oi, kalau nak kata perasaan, saya berasa megah dan sebagai pengiktirafan kepada masyarakat orang asli. Saya adalah orang asli pertama yang duduk di Dewan. Dalam ini adalah perucapan pertama saya. Saya membawa identiti bahawa menjelaskan kepada masyarakat Malaysia bahawa orang asli wujud di Malaysia dan ini adalah isi hati suara mereka.
That's amazing. That's such a nice statement.
Yeah.
It was lovely. He also sort of took the time to quickly run through the top 8 priorities that he has to further the rights of Orang Asli.
Isu pertama, pendidikan. Isu kedua, ekonomi. Pendapatan masyarakat Orang Asli. Ha, dengan harga getah, dengan harga kaun sawit turun, macam mana survival diorang? Yeah. Dan isu ketiga, infrastruktur jalan, kebudayaan asas, api air dan perumahan. Isu keempat, tanah dan kawasan orang asli yang selalu dengar macam isu dekat Kelantan, Gua Musang dan sebagainya kan. Dan isu kelima, mengkaji semula akta orang asli. This is very important. Akta tu diolah tahun 50-an. Dan saya cadangkan perlembagaan dipindah supaya kepentingan orang asli ini masuk dalam concurrent list. Concurrent list ini bermaksud tanggungjawab negeri dan pusat. Keenam, latihan vocational. Semua orang asli ini bukanlah semua pandai akademik. Sekurang-kurang latihan vocational can naikkan dia punya marketability untuk bekerja ataupun buka bisnes kan. Repair aircon, buat rumah, repair motor dan sebagainya lah. And then isu 7, you know Jakua kan. Kena ada plan strategik. Whereby kerajaan pusat must do a plan. Kemana 5 tahun lagi masyarakat orang asli? Kemana pencapaian dia? Sekarang ini belum ada lagi. And then 8 adalah isu kesihatan. Of orang asli. Kadang-kadang sakit berjangkit dulu, malaria dah tak ada, almost eradicate. And then TB pun tak ada. Suddenly now, re-emerging.
That was Ramli Mohammed Noor, the MP of Cameron Highlands. Tasha Fasil, thank you very much for that update.
You're welcome.
So if you'd like to comment on the billet rehab for teachers, Malaysia Airlines, or even boycotting European products, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have more after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:05 in the evening. Before we get to our next story, we have some messages. What do we have, Lynn?
We were also speaking earlier about MAS, you know, just the ongoing situation with it, as well as the possibility of it going to foreign ownership. Thanet says, selling it is an easy way out. Whether we like it or not, MAS is a national icon. A good and capable government should look at turning it round. Not sure if they're up for it. Yeah, sell it if you can't manage it, but it will be a blow to the nation's pride.
Do you think it changed? I'm not sure how I feel about about whether that changes the pride I would have in MAS if, let's say, it ends up in foreign ownership, right? Because right now that
you
conversation...
You don't feel pride, though. You've said this.
So it happened with Proton, right? So, but the difference with Proton was that I think people in general feel it's not like the best brand compared with MAS. I wonder if that changes for people, you know, if you feel more dissociated from the brand and that Malaysian pride if, let's say, it ends up in foreign hands.
Also, just lastly, earlier we had heard from the first Orang Asli MP, Ramli Rahim, right?
Ramli Mohammad Noor, who is now the MP of Cameron Highlands. Of course, he stood out in Parliament today because he was donning a traditional headpiece because he wanted to signify him being the first Orang Asli to sit in the Dewan Rakyat.
And we have a tweet that came through from Daniel Arif who says, great to see and hear about the Cameron Highlands MP's 8-point plan to uplift the Orang Asli, especially the constitutional amendment. Hope to see more minority representation and voice in the highest echelons of public office. And hear, hear. Absolutely agreed.
Yeah, and in this case, I don't think it really matters which political party he is from because he is and he does have the best interest of his community in his mind. So, you know, keep those messages coming about MAS, about Grab. Call us at 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.